The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode of the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is not Nikki Heyman. She may be along later. We will find out. But I have a full table because we have a full weekend of wrestling, one of the biggest wrestling weekends of the year, probably even bigger than WrestleMania. Starting first, back in Tennessee after a long two-week vacation, for reasons which we will find out either late, early this year, or early next, Mr. Brian Henniger, how are you, sir?
I'd like to ask the audience. Oh, sorry, force of habit. I'm doing great. How you doing?
We know why. Good call. From the other side of the world, bad news beaming. Shane, how are you?
I'm going good. Yeah, this week was definitely action-packed.
And finally, from the great state of Florida, Chris Waters. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm just wondering if we're going to need any censored bars after all the blood we saw on a Sunday.
We'll get to that. Mute yourself, sir, Chris, and we'll get to that in a minute as we start with one of the two cards I actually saw live at Barclays, which was NXT TakeOver 2. And this was an absolute another strong showing for the brand. Every match on the card was great. The crowd was unbelievable. Brian, did you actually get a chance to see this one?
I did not get the chance to see it, unfortunately, though I saw the results. It's just amazing. The NXT brand continues to be the future of WWE. And getting to see Shinsuke Nakamura in Brooklyn, that must have been awesome.
I'll get to that in a minute.
And Shane, his entrance, by the way, was incredible with the live violinist.
Yes, that was Lee Englund Jr., for those who don't know. Shinsuke Nakamura was played in to his theme, and 17,000 Brooklyn Maniacs stayed dead silent until his theme actually came in. And I don't know if you saw it, Chris, but we sang along to every word of that theme.
Oh, yeah. You sang along to that and the other major entrance on that show as well.
Yes, which would be one Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Glorious!
Yes.
Well, that's all you needed to do to describe TakeOver was glorious.
It was glorious. Yeah, Shane, so what did you think of the card?
Just what I said just then, glorious.
Yes, glorious. Okay. Let's go over some of the highlights of the show. And there, again, pretty much was everything was just absolutely outstanding. You had Austin Aries beating No Way Jose. Bobby, first of all, the debut of Ember Moon, which was okay against Billie Kay. You know,
was okay. Jesus Christ, that Ember Moon made probably the best woman's impact I have seen in a while.
Well, I will say that swinging stunner from the top rope at the end was pretty good.
I'm just wondering what the heck they're going to call it, because I know of what the original name of that move was.
Dude, what was it called? You can't say it. It's uncensored. What the hell?
It was called the O-Face.
Oh, well, I don't think you could call it that. No.
Yeah.
You had Bobby Roode defeat Cien Almas, and yes, Bobby Roode is a star. And you're talking about, you know, you joke, Chris, about Senpai noticing me. Oh, didn't Bobby Roode look like he just felt free? Oh, God. And you hear the crowd, and again, Shane, glorious, I won't give in, I won't give in, till I'm victory, you know, 17,000 people singing along to it.
Okay, nuts. I've seen some entrances in my time, but that fitted Bobby Roode to a T. Not to mention the fact you had New Yorkers, ladies and gentlemen, all just going bananas over this, going, I will give in, I will defend. I'm like, holy crap!
Yes, exactly. It was just to soak it in. I mean, just insane. And the match of the night, in my personal opinion, was Gargano Ciampa versus Revival. What a fantastic tag match, right, Chris? That was off the chain.
That was the match of the night, definitely, and it helped to, even if in defeat, it helped to really solidify Gargano and Ciampa once they're finally done all their indie stuff that they're doing before they become full-time roster members as major stars, at least in the NXT brand right now. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was just absolutely, that was a star-making match. Absolutely star-making match. Then you had the last match in NXT with Bayley and Asuka, and we'll get to her later, okay? But, Shane, that was a pretty emotional goodbye, don't you think? That was pretty emotional, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I reckon if they wanted to make it more emotional and you wanted to cut out all the BS, Charlotte should have been there as well.
She was. She got booed. Here's the crazy thing. Okay. Now, if you remember during the card, they had the cruiserweights, and then they had Mick Foley and Ric Flair. They were all sitting in the same section. They were just moved into it during each of the segments. little TV production, Brian. You might know about a little thing or two about that. Yeah, I don't know. You know, TV production.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Because I didn't see Charlotte sitting there. I only saw.
No. She was sitting on the opposite side of on the opposite corner where so when Bayley left, she hugged Becky, pop, hugged Sasha, pop, hugged Charlotte, boo. I mean, come on, guys, really? I mean, come on. Charlotte ain't that, all right, well, maybe. No. she ain't that bad. Okay. But then again, here we go. Shinsuke Nakamura was a made man, let me tell you. He is a star, okay? I believe this is his first American title, if I am not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so you had 17,000 people singing the theme and clapping along to it. How surreal was that, Shane? That was nuts.
It was nuts, don't get me wrong, but it's something that's becoming a bit of a theme lately because a lot of fans are getting behind Nakamura, and it doesn't matter what arena he goes into, whether it be Japan or in New York or anywhere, fans just love singing along to his theme. It's insane.
Exactly. And by the way, saw a lot of King of Strong style shirts there. And by the way, he's only 36. I thought he was older. To be honest.
Me too.
I thought he was older. He's got a long, long way to go.
Okay. Now, he's a traditional King of Strong Style, and he lived up to his name in that match. I mean, if the rumors are true and he did dislocate Samoa Joe's jaw, you broke a Samoan's jaw, goddammit.
That is King of Strong Style, okay? But that match between Nakamura and Joe was seriously sponsored by Cialis, Viagra, and Austin Powers' penis pump. I mean, seriously, it was that stiff. Okay, it was really hard hitting. And but again, Nakamura wins the NXT title. We are in. They're taping some more episodes. They had taped a couple of matches beforehand. Wesley Blake lost to Ty Dillinger, who was over as hell, by the way. Lots of tension.
Ty Dillinger.
Over. Majorly over. Okay. And then the Authors of Pain with a new look defeated your Australian team, TM61. Sorry, Shane. You know.
Yeah, that wasn't anything bloody new, although I really don't know what you're going to do with this friggin' team. No offense to them, but like not the fastest team in the world, and just their sheer size. I mean, it's not really an appealing look either.
Well, change up their look a little bit, and who knows, they might be the London and Kendrick of our time right here.
Well, go ahead, Brian.
I just want to ask one question about, you know, TM61. I know TMDK stands for the Mighty Don't Kneel. What does TM61 mean?
I think it's supposed to be their gimmick last names, their current character last names, and 61 is the Australian area code?
Yeah, Australia area code for when you're calling overseas.
Yeah.
From overseas.
Okay.
Their combined age.
61, no. good one. But overall, that was a great show.
Oh, you missed my favorite part of the show, though.
Oh? Oh, yes. Excuse me. I will get... Why don't you get to that? I'm sorry. My apologies.
Yes, after the Austin Aries and No Way Jose match, Mr. Hideo Itami decides to finally give Brooklyn something that they've wanted to see for a while from him. And yes. Mr. Aries is nice and cuddled up with a teddy bear because he went to sleep that night.
That is the first time since, January 2014, that move was performed in a WWE ring.
At least on TV. I heard he did it on a house show once, but...
Brian, that was a pretty much a double bird to a certain Mr. Brooks, don't you think?
Yeah, it was. Basically, it's the WWE's way of saying, he had the moves before Punk did, because Kenta was the one, I think, who first used the GTS.
Yeah, that's correct.
It wouldn't surprise me if this was done as a sort of a throw it in the face to Mr. Punk, because if you remember, didn't like one of the Divas use Jeff Jarrett's move, the Stroke?
Don't know about that, but I know for a while Michelle McCool was using the Styles Clash and called it the Faith Breaker or something like that.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, and it's their way of, and hey, go for it. Because he invented the move, essentially. He does it first. Let him use it. Why not?
That and the Daniel Bryan need it.
Yeah, I mean, put it to you this way. I loved it. The crowd ate it up. And again, that was the cherry on top to it. And by the way, a Tommy Rude, yes, please. Thank you. We'll see that down the road in a couple of months. You know that. And by the way, just as a little aside, and it was tweeted tonight because we'll, talk about NXT. Triple H tweeted a picture of some guy named Sean who was helping out at the NXT tapings tonight.
Ever hear of him? I don't know who Sean is, but he looks like this guy named Mike Hickenbottom, who I've seen out in Texas.
Yeah, that guy. Oh, excuse me. Not that NXT doesn't need any help, but damn, that's a good... Shane, that's a good person to help. No?
You've already got some of the best wrestlers in NXT, and now you've got one of the best of all time helping out in the back. It's like... Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're a brand now. Oh, and they announced at the NXT that they're coming to your neck of the woods.
Yes, they are. They will be here in December, Christmas time.
Yes, and put it to you this way, I can't say what I'm thinking of. Christmas presents or tickets to NXT. What are you gonna do?
I know what I'm personally doing because I've recently just got another job, so I'm gonna try and save up as fast as possible to get the best seats in the house.
Good for you. Enjoy. You will love it. You will absolutely love it.
Especially if they put two certain Australian women on the card, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, I'm there.
Yeah. Now, okay. So, how good NXT TakeOver was, that's how I would say disjointed SummerSlam felt. Brian, is that the best way to describe that one?
Yeah, you could. I mean, SummerSlam had some really good matches, and it had some really bad matches. I mean, it was kind of weird.
Chris, what would be the one word you would describe SummerSlam?
I don't know if I can have just one word.
Just give me what you think.
All over the place in the booking, but some of it I can understand why it happened. And yes, it's just specifically a certain women's match.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Schmozzle. That's about right. Yes. Okay. So I did not see this particular thing live at the arena, and if I did, I probably want my money back. It was kind of disjointed, and it was scheduled. I thought it was booked. It was programmed via dartboard because, you know, I mean, look, you had the Cesaro-Sheamus match, which was very good for what it was. Sheamus wins 1-0. You had the 12-man tag, and then you had Zayn Neville versus the Dudleys, and more on the Dudleys later on.
By the way,
yes,
could we mayhaps give a slight bit of information about the set and the ring?
Yes, go ahead.
Am I the only one who absolutely hated the LED panels on the ring posts? Because they had to make the ring posts like 3 times as fat, and it made it look like a toy ring. I mean, that's gilding the lily just a little bit too much, in my opinion.
I understand where you're coming from, but I think what they're trying to do is change the production values of everything, and that's the latest bit of it. You understand what I mean? I understand. Chris, yeah. Do you like or dislike the new HD LED signs?
I'll be honest, it actually took me a little bit to notice them until I saw one of the person's entrances. I noticed it on there. And then I noticed Cesaro jumping off the damn thing one time in the match.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're okay for what they are. I'm sure I'll get used to them more, like I did with the LED board itself on the ring apron.
Now, see, I like the LED board on the ring apron. That's because they've been doing that for a while in Mexico, I think.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, because I know I saw it in the Heroes del Ring video game. I remember that. But it's like the LED panels on the ring posts, that's a bit much. But the set looked really, really good, in my opinion.
The set was awesome. And by the way, they used the SummerSlam set on, I believe, Sunday and Monday. I don't know if they're going to keep that as a permanent thing.
They might, because when they went to SmackDown, they had a different type of set, and that was not in Brooklyn from what I remember. So
no. And by the way, now that SmackDown is on live, I hope they do Brooklyn 4 shows in a row. I would really love, not to be a greedy miser, but why not? They'd sell out 4 shows in a row, I think.
Can you say overkill, children? I knew you could.
maybe. We'll see. But getting back to SummerSlam itself, match of the night by far was Cena-AJ Styles. That was a spectacular mat classic with Styles winning clean. With Cena leaving the armband in the ring. Significance, Brian?
Probably. Anything? I mean, I think it's something. I mean, look, Cena has been he's been losing more matches lately. He's not been as dominant as he has been. Maybe this is Cena's way of saying that he's starting to wind things up in his career, and it'll make a lot of people very happy. But, you know, he's doing what you're supposed to do in the wrestling business, which is going out on your back, putting the next guy over. And the fact that he's putting AJ Styles over, that means a lot to AJ's cred in the WWE, if you ask me.
Brian, Chris, thoughts on the Cena Styles match?
I know some people will complain about the kicks out of everything, but when you know that somebody can kick out of as they call it, the Avalanche Attitude Adjustment, or the AAA now, then you know they did something special, because I don't think anybody has ever done that before until Styles did it on there, and that was a moment that you knew Styles was being made as a star in that match, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree. Then I thought the biggest surprise of the night was Finn Balor winning the Universal title despite the crowd shitting on the red belt. Shane, were you surprised they pulled the trigger?
I was definitely surprised, but as you guys know, I said thank God. Thank you, God, you pulled the trigger. I do agree. Brooke, and hell, even Seth Rollins broke character, man. Seth Rollins, this is how pissed off he was. Seth Rollins broke character, went straight on Twitter and said, "Thanks for nothing, Brooklyn." You guys pretty much shit on our match because you didn't like a belt when it's supposed to be about what the two men are fighting for, not what the belt friggin' looks like.
And he's absolutely 1,000% correct, right, Brian?
Yes, he is. Look, I don't like the red belt either. But at the same time, the match was amazing. And kudos to WWE for giving, for, again, pulling the trigger on Finn Balor and, willing to take a chance on him. The chance didn't pay off, as we're about to find out, but it may again down the road. Though this does lead credence to what I've been saying, the plan that they were going to make every belt a variant of the Man Ring.
Yes. Yes. And we'll get to
that. Which, by the
way,
in case y'all didn't know, just to point out, I called that one. So y'all can give me credit for that whenever you all want to.
All good. Okay, and of course, now, Chris, Dean Ambrose kept his belt off of Dolph Ziggler in a pretty good match. And again, Ziggler is the close but no cigar guy. Not once, but twice this week, but we'll get to that in a minute. Rusev didn't even have the match. As you alluded to earlier, Sasha dropped the belt to Charlotte because Sasha was legit hurt. And in a way, it was pretty cool because, as we'll find out, Monday was pretty awesome. Okay. So, let's talk about that main event, shall we? That should not have been placed there. Okay. So, Lesnar Orton, there was the TKO. That was the planned finish. Okay. That was the planned finish. But the blood was not. Now, Brian, you heard about the big brawl that happened after backstage, because Chris Jericho didn't. No one really knew about the finish, and Jericho was legit worried about Orton's condition. And when I saw it, did you think it was a blade job, or did you think that he really fucked them up?
It couldn't be a blade job, because I've heard every story that WWE no longer allows blade jobs, period, in the paragraph.
Right.
There's too much of a risk about bloodborne pathogens and just not doing blade jobs anymore. So I knew that, because I believed when he got busted open, it was hard way. But there was so much blood. They didn't stop the match. The fact that they essentially played it kind of like the end of Rocky IV, the beginning of Rocky IV. That amazed me. It just shocked me just how graphic that match is. And I guess it's a testament to how resensitized to blood we've become, that seeing a blade job and a bloodletting like that is now shocking and disgusting, which is the way it should be when a person gets bloodied.
Chris, 10 staples in his head.
I heard 12.
Even so. So Jericho gets in Lesnar's face, and Lesnar says, are you going to hit me or are you going to kiss me? And Jericho gets in his face. There's no heat on Jericho, but how much heat should Lesnar have, for real?
This story between the Jericho and Lesnar thing is getting kind of convoluted from other things I've read, but that's neither here nor there. It depends on I know Lesnar, being UFC trained, he probably could easily bust anybody open hard way if he wanted to. It depends on if he planned on getting him that hard to get that kind of a gash into Orton's head or not. Now, if it's a planned finish for those kinds of hits and then the technical knockout, then that's fine. But it depends on, like, if they wanted to plan it to be the blood coming out during it. So, and you know, even if it was, and Lesnar's kind of not going to get in trouble anyway for the whole thing, I don't think.
Do you think he should?
Probably if he didn't. He probably should, but like it's hard to say without knowing every single fact about the thing, if you ask me.
Okay. I have a question. Don't you think... I'll ask you, Brian. How much trouble should he get in, Lesnar?
Lesnar?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. Accidents happen in the wrestling business. People get hurt, unfortunately. But the problem, the real problem is, you know, you got to be more careful. And this isn't the first time Lesnar has busted a guy open hard way. He did it with Cena. He did it with The Undertaker, according to legend. So, I mean, he should be in heat just for the fact that he's not protecting his opponents as much as he should be. And
all right, well,
I would say to Lesnar, I mean, I wouldn't punish him, but I would sit him down and I'd say to him, you know, Brock, you need to, you know, lay off the horsepower a little bit. You know, I know you're a UFC guy, but you don't have to kill someone every time you wrestle him.
I'm sorry, but not punish him. He should have been punished before SummerSlam. Because, see, this is the part where I get a little pissed off, is that I hate fans, and yeah, for everyone that's listening, I hate you fans that will use the lame ass excuse of, oh, but Brock was in UFC at the time during his whole steroid and drug use thing, so it doesn't affect WWE. Here's the legit facts you guys don't want to face. Brock Lesnar was still under a part-time WWE talent contract, which I'm pretty sure even in part-timers' cases, they still have to follow the rules and regulations of drug policy. So,
Shane, let me. That's what we call in the biz a segue. May I? Brock Lesnar has been temporarily suspended by the Nevada State Athletic Commission because he tested positive for clomiphene and hydroxychloroquine, which is an anti-estrogen agent, because I'm a guy, I don't know this stuff, that is typically used after a cycle of steroids to prevent many of the side effects that come along with the performance-enhancing drug. So he is a drug user. He is a cheater, right? Right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, and by the way, he's getting booed. You notice that the crowd is starting to boo Lesnar because they know he's a cheat and they know the WWE effed up by not suspending him?
Here's the thing, and Vince McMahon is 100% to blame for this. Vince thinks that Brock Lesnar is a cash cow, and hey, I can partially see where you're coming from, Vince, but here's the thing. Now, I don't know how your sales with 2K17 are going to go, seeing as though you've got a drug user on the cover of your game. But here's the thing. If you had the gigantic grapefruits you claim to have, you would have either, one, suspended Lesnar and had him not performing at SummerSlam, two, had him lose cleanly to Orton and had that punt kick friggin' done correctly, so that way Lesnar's out for a long time, or C, you could have just done both. You could have suspended Lesnar directly after SummerSlam and had the Punk kick happen.
Yes. Because and you want to know something? It would have pumped the crowd, and it would have done everything, and it would have made WWE look stupid. Because... Go ahead.
I was going to say, but here's the thing that really pisses me off. Is like, I've heard, like Chris and like Brian, I've seen the reports about, yes, how the match was apparently planned. But according to certain sites and sources, they're saying that Orton was told an hour or two before the match bloody happened. So basically, Orton was backed into a corner and was pretty much like had to nod his head and be like, yeah, okay, that's cool. But he was told he was only going to be grazed by Lesnar to a point where it was only going to be a little blood until Lesnar gave him a legit hard elbow to the head that busted him open. That wasn't planned, but Orton's whole plan after that was to lay down, which is what he did. But yeah. In my personal opinion, it made Orton look like a pussy. It made Lesnar look like more of a beast than he did not need to look like. And then Orton gets put into a feud with Bray Wyatt. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, did you guys notice that Orton was sandbagging every fucking suplex? Did you notice that?
I think that was his way of saying, look, man, I'm against this match.
Like, you did see it, right?
Lesnar gave a little bit more heave to it when he realized he was getting sandbagged. He's like, all right, you want to play this game? Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, you saw he was sandbagging him, right?
I saw a little bit of it because I was one of the only three that was on the Sunday thing, so I was trying to...
Yeah, but... But Brian, I don't know if you saw it, but Orton was sandbagging, right?
He was sandbagging him. I mean, he was not letting him have, you know, the kind of moment that he should have had in the match like that. And you stop and you think to yourself, you're like, you know, Orton ain't playing along here, and you really can't blame him in a lot of ways.
No, you can't. And it's very interesting where they're going with this on SmackDown, which we'll get to in a minute. So we go to the third show at Brooklyn, which was Monday Night Raw. And I got to see this live at a pretty lower seat because for some reason there was a technical mix-up and I got to go on the floor. Not the floor, but on one level off the floor. Anyway.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you have a garden dog for me?
Not at Barclays because the Barclays were charging $8.25 for them. So no.
I retract my request.
Yes, exactly. $9 for a slice of Junior's cheesecake too. So no. Anyway, but here's the deal. After SummerSlam, we were getting reports that, oh shit, Finn Balor's shoulder is fucked up. Pretty bad. Okay. When you guys read this report, how crushed were you? How crushed were you?
I felt extremely bad for Baylor. I felt really, really bad for Finn because he has worked so, so hard to get to this point. He's worked so hard to get to where he is right now. And it's getting ripped away from him. And my heart went out to him because no one deserves to have it taken away from him like that. Nobody.
Not after the first night. Now, the crowd didn't want it to happen, but he did have successful shoulder surgery this week for a torn labrum. And he is out 6 months, which is barely around WrestleMania time, okay? And the injury was according to Dr. Jeffrey Dugas, who is Dr. James Andrews, I believe, protege/second in command, he said, quote, Finn's injury was pretty severe, more severe than normal, a real high-energy injury. It did more damage than a standard shoulder dislocation where you simply tear the labrum. The prognosis is excellent, however. We're able to fix it all and put it back where it came from. I'm anticipating him to get back to full speed. So it could be a little longer. Now, here is the big question. Shane, Rollins has to change his moveset, doesn't he?
Okay, yeah. Here's where I actually got a little bit told off from people when I brought this up. Now, look, I'm not saying this is anything against Seth, okay? Seth is a great worker and everything else. There are just some moves that require two to tango, and if one person messes up, then it's going to severely injure them. As you've seen here with Finn Balor, which I can guarantee you, that spot was done from the buckle bomb into the barricade. That's where this injury has taken place. But yeah, Seth's now injured three guys with the buckle bomb. Sting got retired. Finn is out injured. And who was the third one? I can't remember.
Well, but no. Cena got injured with the knee to the nose, if you remember.
That's right, yeah. Oh, that's right, yes. And Cena got injured with the knee to the nose. But no, I don't think Seth has to change his game up completely. I just think he needs to take away the buckle bomb. That's just my... He needs to find a new corner finisher, new corner move to do.
Yeah, Brian, Chris, you agree?
I agree with that because the buckle bomb, it looks impressive enough, but it's a very dangerous move, as we've seen with Sting and now Balor. If the opponent doesn't take it right, it can just lead to all craziness right there. And it's not worth it to have to change your plan so severely as they have to now with Balor being out of the picture.
Well, here's the funny thing, is that was not the original bloody plan.
What?
No, that was not the original plan. In fact, the Universal title wasn't even supposed to be on Raw. This is where it gets interesting.
Wait, now, what's your source on this?
It's multiple sources have indicated this. Like, it was originally scheduled that it was going to be a triple threat match that they were setting up for Hell in a Cell. It was going to be Balor, Owens, and Chris Jericho at Hell in a Cell for the WWE Championship. But because Roman got suspended from the drug policy, they had to change all of it up and put the WWE Championship on the top, on another top babyface at the time, which was Dean Ambrose. And obviously, Dean was always going to SmackDown. So that changed a lot of plans. Now the Universal title got put to Raw, so they changed it up and said, well, we'll just do Finn versus Seth at SummerSlam.
Yes. So, what happens is that Balor gives up the belt, and not only do we have qualifying matches for next week's, for next week to have a four-way to crown the Universal Champ, and of course, Brooklyn shits on that, because we wanted to see the new Universal Champion, but no, we don't get that, so fuck you, Mick. Sorry. No disrespect. Okay. So, Rollins beats Sami Zayn, who sold beautifully to that ankle. By the way, that ankle injury was a work, Brian. That was a great sell, right? Seriously, great stuff.
It was a very good sell. It was a work, but it was a damn good work.
Yeah, there were some people who were worried right there for Sammy, and that I know of elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Owens beats Neville with help from Chris Jericho. Big Cass beats a hurt, quote unquote. Rusev via countout, and Reigns beats Jericho despite the help from Rollins. Okay, gentlemen, put your booking caps on, please. Who should get the belt next week, and who will get the belt next week. Brian, I'll start with you.
Let's see. So who are the four people? Just want to know if we're absolute sure.
Okay, it would be Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Big Cass, and Roman Reigns.
Who should get the belt is Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Because he's paid his dues. He's over his all get out. And I've always been more of a fan of a heel champion than a face champion.
Okay.
Because with a heel champion, you can do the chase very well.
Okay.
As far as who will get it, I don't think it's going to be Seth Rollins, because this being the third, being the second or third guy he's injured, they're getting gun shy on him more and more by the day. Mm-hmm. Won't be him. I don't think it's going to be Roman Reigns either, because I think he's still in the. I think he's still in the doghouse for his substance abuse incident.
Wait. Hang on. Are we about to hear this? Are we really about to hear this? Brian Henniger, ladies and gentlemen, hit him with a folding chair. He's gone. They've pulled the trigger once. Why not pull the trigger again and say, how you doing?
How you doing? Is that right, Brian? Yeah. Are you saying how you doing?
I'm not saying how you doing. I'm going to say Kevin Owens is going to win.
So in other words, Kevin Owens should and will. That's what you're saying.
In my opinion, yes.
Okay. You know what? That's not a bad choice. Chris, should and will.
Well, I agree with the should, that it should be Kevin Owens, and it should. I could see that being kind of a thing that since Jericho is winding down his current run and probably will be at the end of this year, going back to doing his Fozzy stuff, that would be an interesting little mini feud from some of the Raw only pay per views, where it's Jericho and Owens fighting each other for the title. So I think it should be Kevin Owens. As for will it be, as much as I want to say it, I don't know if it's going to be him. And Cass, I think they just wanted to have another face in there, and they didn't want to put Neville and Sami Zayn in there for some reason. So I really think, despite thinking that they should keep them away from the title scene for a little bit, it's going to be either Seth or Roman. I don't know which one for sure, though.
Shane.
Should Kevin Owens, definitely. Despite him injuring Sting and Finn, it's going to be Seth Rollins. Because I honestly don't think they're going to give it back to Roman this quickly. And Big Cass, as much as he's getting a lot of praise backstage and they see some money in him, it's just not his time yet.
I'm with you. I think it's between Kevin Owens and Rollins. Cass and Reigns have zero shot. If they give the belt to Reigns, they're out of their fucking minds. No way. Okay. I think I'd love to see it on Owens, but I think it will be Rollins. I really do.
The only way I can see them giving it to Reigns, now that I think about it, is if they do like they did with a certain women's match on SmackDown and decide to finally say, screw it, we're going to do it finally, and do a double turn with Rollins and Reigns, which I doubt they're going to do. But
which is the rumors going around, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, again, it's just one of those things where I don't know. We don't know.
Before you do that, do you think they're going to try to, between this week and next week, try to touch up the Universal title due to the negativity, like make it like a darker red strap or something?
I don't know. And you know what? I wouldn't touch a damn thing, because I think the crowd is full of shit. Okay? I really do. I love the new SmackDown belts, which we'll talk about later. I think the SmackDown belts are sweet. The blue and silver are awesome. I love their combos. Okay, I think they're great. Anyway, now, anybody think that the Dudley's retirement angle was fake? Not true. They're done with the WWE, but not in a bad way. They left WWE on their own terms, and pretty much the doors open. I mean, they laid out the shining stars, said goodbye in New York, and the club laid them out for potential return. Brian, do you think this is the end for the Dudleys? Or do you think they've got one more potential run from them?
Probably one more potential run, but I think they're done. I mean, they've both got their wrestling school that they do very good with. They said that their intention was to come back exclusively to help out the tag team division. And they've done a really good job with it. They've not lost a step. It was sincere, the way the two of them, you know, talked. It was very sincere. It was really cool the way that they put everybody over. And it was really good to see. And I think that, unfortunately, this is probably going to be the end of the Dudley Boys in WWE. But what a great run to have.
Shane, what do you think of the Dudley Boys and their going out?
Yeah, I do think it's legit. I've actually got a friend in the wrestling business that's pretty close with the Dudleys, and even she's given them a fond farewell and said, enjoy your retirement. But everyone was speculating that we might have seen the return of Bully Ray. But no, we didn't get that this time. This was actually... I don't know if it's the Dudley swan song, but it's their swan song for right now. Because, as Brian said, they've got their wrestling school, and they've done all they can do. Because it's not like they're going to go down to NXT, because NXT doesn't need fixing.
No. So, and Chris, your thoughts?
Pretty much what has been said. And I'm wondering, now that they did this, if they do decide to do, like, every now and then an indie match now, because of their good goodbye with the WWE, are they allowed to use the Dudley Boys name outside of WWE now because of this?
I think they own it. Brian, I think they own the name, don't they?
I know they own the name Team 3D. I know they own that name. I don't know if they own the name of... of the Dudley Boys. I don't think they own it.
Well, I mean, whatever they do independently, they'll be fine. They ain't going anywhere.
And also, I'm thinking, if this is the final farewell for them, if not this coming year, then next year, then the year, if it's not this coming year, then the year after, they're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, please. Oh, absolutely. They should, put it to you this way. I wouldn't be surprised if they got inducted in Florida. Does that make sense, Shane? They're up there.
Yeah, right? They're definitely around there. It'll just be interesting to see, though, because with WWE, you never know.
Right.
Because, excuse me, if the door's open, you know, they will always come back. Now, so Charlotte berates Sasha and, you know, basically sets up Mick Foley for the debut, finally, of the Hugmaster herself, Bayley, to the main roster. Now, I'll go with you, Shane, first. I was there live for this. The crowd would eat this up like anything.
Oh, hell yeah. Everyone's been waiting. We've been waiting a whole friggin' year for this. It's like, after all the rumors and potential spoilers we were getting, it's like, Bayley's going to be at Night of Champions. Bayley's going to be at WrestleMania. Bayley's going to be here. No, Bayley was at friggin' Raw in Brooklyn, and the roof blew off the place.
Brian, your thoughts on the debut?
It was the way she should have debuted. Bayley, it was super, super hot and super, super over, and they debuted her in the right way, in my opinion.
And Chris.
Yes.
I want to read you, if I can find this. She is a classy young lady, okay? She, number one, she gave a hug to everybody at the end of NXT, including Izzy, who was there in the crowd. Oh, and by the way, stay away from those big giant beasts named Brock Lesnar. Seriously.
Now that's who Izzy's going to use to take out Asuka now.
Yes, exactly. So this is what Bayley posted on her Instagram account, okay? She said, "Dear NXT, today I went into the Performance Center and had to clean out my locker. After 4 years with NXT, it's time for me to step away and the new crop of women to step up. I'm so confident in the division and know we will all see it be taken to newer heights. I've seen FCW shows grow from 12 people in the crowd to NXT pay-per-views with 15,000 in Brooklyn. NXT is my life. It's everything I am, everything I've wanted in wrestling. The roster, the coaches, our bosses, our fans. All of it is everything I've ever wanted. I couldn't have dreamt up a better journey, and I couldn't have asked for better support and love that all of you have embraced me with. I love this industry with all my heart, but I mean this when I say it. I would not be able to do the things I've done without you guys. You fans match our passion. With everything we give you in the ring, you give it right back as fans. And that's what makes NXT special. And that's what I'll miss most. I'll miss my NXT family backstage. I'll miss those once-in-a-lifetime moments like doing Finn Balor's entrance. Or teaming with Shinsuke Nakamura or standing in the ring for 10 minutes as you guys sing a song. And I'll miss the proud feeling of being part of it all. But I know it will continue, and I'll never stop chasing that feeling. I'm beyond excited to be bring everything you all of you taught me to WWE. Thanks for the memories, and always, we are NXT." That's class, right, Bri?
That is class. And it really shows the class that so many of these people have, all these wrestlers have. I'm honored. You know, it makes me feel good to see just how happy all these people are. And I give them credit for it, you know. Let's say it. Bayley went out the right way, and I was extremely proud to hear her say the things that she said. And I know she'll tear it up on the main roster. And it really felt like you're watching someone graduate from college and getting a job. That's what it felt like to me.
I was thinking high school to college, actually, but I understand exactly what you mean. Okay. I know exactly what you mean. Oh, and by the way, Charlotte was like, "I'm not fighting you. Dana, you fight her." And Dana's like, "What? Really? What? Us? Me? Huh?
What? Course, me? How? What? When? Where? When? Who? How? What?"
Yes. And Bayley was like, and of course, Bayley won her debut, of course, as she should. But it was so great. I saw a ton of guys, very masculine guys, mind you, wearing "I'm a Hugger" t-shirts, by the way. Bayley was way over. Oh, and by the way, a couple of other things. Titus, you need to realize that you can't do live promos if you don't speak English. Okay? Seriously.
Yeah, that's kind of that is probably one of the worst promos we've heard this year, right here.
was Titus saying they were trying to do voodoo on Bob Backlund? Let's just be honest here. Can we?
He was either high or drunk or something, because it was terrible. He was like a beep 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 beep. He sounded like hey. He sounded like Mushmouth from Fat Albert. I mean, seriously.
although to be fair, not as bad as Ahmed Johnson.
No, but it was close. It was pretty close.
Ahmed just had his own language when he was around. Come on.
I swear to God, if that's what they're doing with Titus O'Neil, trying to make him the next Ahmed, I'd kill WWE.
No. It was.
He can't be the next Ahmed Johnson. He's not wearing 14 elbow and knee pads.
Of course, the club is still going after the New Day, who celebrated their one-year anniversary as champs with, of course, a unicorn pinata.
Can I say something here?
Yeah, sure.
Well, two things I want to say. One, I'm actually surprised they kept the titles on New Day at SummerSlam.
Yep.
That's whatever. Two, I'm starting to think, I'm not sure if they're going to, but I am really starting to think that they are actually going to go through and have New Day hold the titles longer than when Demolition held their titles before, which would end up in somewhere in mid-December.
If they do that, by the way, you did notice that they were running a ton of articles with New Day over SummerSlam week and how they have changed the image of the African-American black wrestler. And how, I mean, Brian, that's a big deal. Big deal for them, no? I mean, seriously.
Oh, a huge deal for the New Day. I mean, I can remember, you know, I can remember reading what Big E wrote on his Twitter account, which was something along the lines of, I can't remember how it goes. He said that at first he had that they had to beg WWE for merch, and then they were the best selling people at WrestleMania weekend, and the Fed is paying attention to it. And I think it's great that we're seeing guys who are getting over, who have found a way to get over, and get this, the Fed is supporting the way they're getting over now. And again, yep, it brings them positive publicity. It brings the Fed positive publicity. It's a net win for everybody.
And the fact is that these are, and again, not to necessarily bring the racial aspect to it, but a lot of articles did over SummerSlam, Shane, that the New Day breaks every stereotype of every African-American wrestler we've had over the last 50 years.
Yeah, definitely. Like New Day aren't considered like just valets or any or backseaters. These are men that are the highlight of your damn of the top show, which is awesome for them. And 365 days, damn. I don't know if they're gonna beat Demolition's record. I honestly see at their next pay-per-view they will lose the titles to the Club, but yeah, it's definitely a huge run.
Huge run for them. And of course the most fun thing of the night, Braun Strowman got the crowd to chant "Let's go Jobber" to Johnny Knockout, which was kind of fun.
Okay, seriously? Like, wouldn't people just be intimidated by that man? So obviously they're gonna have to do it. It'd be like, it's like, chant "Let's go Jobber." It's like, okay, let's go Jobber.
No, the crowd that did this. The crowd actually did it on for their own thing. Anyway.
And of course, how creepy was it to hear the Jobber say something on the lines of, "Because I like big, sweaty men."
I expect that comment from Tyler Breeze, goddammit.
Oh, my God. Okay, moving on to SmackDown. Okay. We had AJ now claiming to be the face that runs the place, wearing John Cena's headband.
Which is a glorious image, in my opinion, right there.
Very much so. And he berates a loser like Dolph Ziggler, and Ziggler and AJ fight. Okay? So, we, as pretty much rumored, there are two new champions. The SmackDown Tag Champions and the SmackDown Women's Champion. Now, with all the crap that the Universal, we talked about this earlier, with all the crap the Universal Championship belt got, Brian, those tag belts and the women's belt, they look pretty snazzy, my personal opinion.
Yeah, they look good, in my opinion. I mean, you got that really great color scheme, and those color schemes are beautiful, in my opinion. I think silver and blue go great together. I just have a problem with calling them the SmackDown Championships. I don't like naming the championships for shows. I don't like that at all. It just doesn't sound right to me. But the belts look nice. So, you know, you give a little, you get a little.
Mm-hmm. So, and then we were going to have a tag team tournament to determine the tag team champion. So then the hottest free agent in the history of wrestling. Well, since Bayley was signed, yeah. interrupts and Daniel Bryan says, if you can find a partner at the end of the night, he'll be in the tournament. Like, okay, cool. But the only way he's going to be in the tournament, in on the SmackDown roster, is if he wins the tournament. Shane, is that telegraphing? Or is it just comedy gold?
It's comedy gold. I think this thing with Slade is just going to be that endless, never-ending story of, You almost got the brass ring, son, but it keeps getting pulled away from you.
And by the way, there were a lot of "We want Slater" chants the entire night. Certain things, including during the main event, which was pretty interesting, but on Raw. But anyway, so then AJ Styles interrupts, and Ziggler is just basically saying, "All right, fine, look." And they set up Styles Ziggler 1-on-1. Styles is going to get Ambrose. If Ziggler would have won, or Ziggler wins, sorry, a little spoiler there, they would have made it a three-way. But then Ziggler, yet again, close but no cigar in an awesome match against AJ Styles. I got to ask, Brian, where is the booking going with this? I got to ask you with Ziggler. Is he done? Is he gone? I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, look, I've heard rumors that he's gone. I've heard rumors that he's leaving. I've heard rumors that after his contract is up, he's not renewing it. I don't get it. I don't understand it with Ziggler. Ziggler is such an amazingly talented wrestler. He should have a belt around his waist. He should be in the championship picture. I don't get it. And I'm not going to get it for quite some time.
Yeah, people can say, like, all the marks can say what they want, saying, "Oh, Dolph Ziggler's just a ripoff of Billy Gunn and Shawn Michaels." But be honest with yourselves. This guy has made so many people look like gold. It has made so many matches look like five stars when they're not even on pay-per-view. So the fact that this guy hasn't, like, won even a US or IC title in a while, that's a robbery in itself. I think just to piss off management, he should just cut his hair and go back to being brown-haired again and just be like, "Yeah, well, you know what? F you. I'm on the way out anyways." It's like, you don't get the show off, you get the caddy. F you.
Right. So Slater was trying to find a partner, and he tried to talk to The Miz, and The Miz was talking on his Bluetooth with Spielberg. Yeah, sure. So
was it his non-union Mexican counterpart?
Yeah, pretty much. So in the matches, I mean, Alexa Bliss lost to Becky Lynch. Usos advanced to the tag team tournament. Then we have Carmella, interestingly enough, turning heel against Nikki Bella, and Nikki Bella is face again. Really? Oh, turn the wrong person, right, Shane?
Yeah, definitely. Carmella was getting over as a face. I mean, she was a princess of Staten Island, and everyone was love getting behind her mic work. And then you have her beating the crap out of Nikki Bella, not once, but twice.
Actually, three times.
Is she? Oh, Jesus.
Because
that's overkill. That's overkill.
She beat her up on Talking Smack.
That's what I'm saying. I only saw the one. But
it was twice in the ring, once on Talking Smack.
Oh, so. I count that as just once. I don't care that she went.
All right, fine. But even so, twice, three times a headbutt. Yes, I know. Okay. So we have Orton addressing the Lesnar match, and it was a pretty. By the way, you saw the stables. That's a freaking ugly wound right there. That was pretty nasty.
Yeah, scar for a good while now.
Yeah, Brian, that you might need some plastic surgery on that one.
Probably. That was brutal.
Yep.
Orton's wife ain't getting hit with an RKO out of nowhere anytime soon.
But then was interrupted by who his next challenger is going to be at Backlash, probably. Bray Wyatt. He says, "You're still a man. I'm a god who can never die," and leaves.
I am intrigued. I am. I'm intrigued that, you know, Bray is going to work with Orton. Look, Bray is a great talent. Orton seems to have found out what a personality is, which is great. And You know what? If the two of them can cut good promos against one another and they're doing a good job, go for it.
Yep. Are you intrigued, Mr. Waters?
Yes, I am. I will say one thing, though. I really think this should be a feud that Bray wins, despite how good Orton has been since he's come back. Because if they're going to do this new era thing, Bray needs to be a solidified threat on SmackDown, in my opinion.
Exactly. Amen.
Shane, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I did just put it in the chat as well. But yeah, I'm intrigued by this only if this is like a number one contendership feud and it leads to Wyatt winning and having a future shot against either Styles or Ambrose, whoever wins.
Probably Ambrose if it's going to be in there. Now, here's the more interesting thing. So, Shane McMahon was told that Stephanie fined Brock Lesnar the amount of $500 for his actions against Randy Orton.
That's half of what he gives Sable for her shopping money. God damn it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
I was worried for a second you were going to say something a little worse.
Yeah, exactly. That, put it to you this way, Shane spends that on a pair of sneakers, so it's not a big deal. Anyway, so what happens is Shane says there will be consequences and that it's not over. Is this anything, and is there a potential match between Shane and Brock down the road? Maybe Survivor Series, perhaps? Thoughts? Anybody?
Honestly, I really don't want Shane back in the ring. He had his moment at WrestleMania, and with what Lesnar has been doing, any offense that Shane would get on him kind of seems a little silly. Even more so than what he did to Undertaker or what he did to Kane back in that feud, in my opinion.
It's been 13 years since we've seen Shane McMahon at Survivor Series. I say it's time.
Okay.
No, I agree with Chris. Like, no offense to Shane. He is a great talent. In fact, back in the Attitude Era, I'd say he was better than half the roster that they already had. But to put him in the ring against Brock Lesnar, I mean, even by scripted standards, is stupid. Because no one's going to believe that a billionaire's son is going to be able to take it to a guy that beat the crap out of Randy Orton.
Brian, do you concur and make it the sweep?
Make it a sweep. He had his moment at WrestleMania. He is getting on in years. Even in a worked situation, he runs a severe risk of injury. And he's got too many irons in the fire with the WWE. You know, I wouldn't do it. I really wouldn't do it.
If it was a swerve, however, I'd love it if it was a swerve. Like, Shane's like, yeah, come on, man, let's you and me fight at Survivor Series. Let's go. Lesnar gets out in the ring, and then Goldberg comes out in his place. I'd be like, all right, you got me.
That's the only thing I'm thinking of that they might do instead, knowing them with the whole promotion thing and them calling each other out on the panels for over the SummerSlam weekend.
Well, like I said, it asks more questions than it answers. So he's looking for partners, and he's looking for partners, and he finds one in Rhino, and he's like, I want to pay for your above ground pool. That was just funny as hell. Yeah, exactly. It was, yes. And it was just like, you know, yes, AJ Styles said no, but Rhino is just like, you know, let's win some gold. So let's hope he does.
Typical politician trying to go for the popular vote right there.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, come on. He was getting so desperate, he asked Double A, man. Like, Arn Anderson, who hasn't been the enforcer in over 20 years.
And exactly. He only has one good arm.
Hey, yes. Hey. Even with one good arm, he could still spinebuster Undertaker, remember?
Amen. That's true.
Yeah, but yeah, Heath and the Honorable Rhino is going to be an interesting team right there. And yes,
exactly.
And, so, and he is the Honorable Rhino since he won that little political position of his, from what I've checked.
No, he won. No, he won a primary. He hasn't won the position yet.
Oh, okay. So once he wins it, then
yes, the Honorable Rhino. Yes. So by the way, American Alpha held. I mean, Breezango lost to American Alpha and. But Breezango held their own. I was impressed. It was one of their best matches as a tag team, you know. And then, of course, you have Dean Ambrose in a Houston Oilers-like cowboy hat and a Mohegan Sun shirt, tipping the waitress and chips. Knowing him, they would have been salsa chips, but they were regular chips, you know, because he got coffee. And then of course he was on commentary for the Styles Ziggler matches we talked about, and there was a little face off, and then as we went off the air, Styles backed off. However, that was not the most important thing about SmackDown. That happened after SmackDown on Talking Smack. The Miz,
this was incredible.
The Miz cut one of the best wrestling promos, I would have to say, ever. Chris, why don't you tell us about this one?
Yes, it started just like a couple of weeks ago when Miz came in. And Miz was upset that he was not featured on SmackDown. Well, of course, ignoring the little call that he did. But that was a different story. Then Daniel Bryan is... Miz is getting angry at Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan said, you know what, I think the way you wrestle seems cowardly to me, and when I was on the indies, if I was going to make up what we thought was a typical WWE wrestler, you would have been it, because you seem soft to us.
No, the word was WWE safe. I just want to get it right.
Yeah. Not
to take your thunder away, but I'm
just saying. Yeah, I didn't remember exactly. I was just going off of memory without having looking at it. Miz got a little bit in Daniel Bryan's face, and he brought up things like, hey, you said when you got injured, 1 year later you were going to come back and you were going to win this title. But what happened? It didn't happen. And who is the coward now? And Bryan tried to fight back, saying if they would let me. And Miz just kept on digging into him and digging into him so much that Bryan had to walk off. And then Miz looks in the camera and just cuts an intense promo of how he is the true star of SmackDown, and he is going to make the Intercontinental Championship the most important championship. And the intensity was something we haven't seen in a while of Miz in this regard. It was just pretty much
his
the
best promo ever.
Yes, exactly. The promo of his career thus far.
But now here's the question, Shane. What does it lead to? What did you think it – put it to you this way. What do you think they wanted it to lead to, and what do you think it's going to lead to?
I think what they were trying to allude us to was that this is like Bryan coming out of retirement. I'm like, no, you're not going to do it. We all know you're not going to do it. As far as where I think it's going to go, I don't know. I don't know, either it's going to be next week, Miz is going to come out and berate Daniel Bryan live on SmackDown, and it leads to Ziggler having a feud with Miz and Daniel Bryan's place. I don't know. But I highly doubt we're going to see Daniel Bryan return to the ring for this damn match.
Bryan, where do you think it's going?
I think it's going to lead to a situation where the Miz snaps and beats down Daniel Bryan and just really lays him a beating, like, and it leads to Daniel Bryan deciding to bring in someone to fight the Miz, like, say, Hideo Itami. Because he knows he can't wrestle anymore, but he's going to find someone to take the Miz out, and it'll lead to a feud in that regard.
Wow. I put it to you this way. It would be very interesting for that to happen. But I will tell you.
Of course, there is another person I think they might also want to – might have tried, but I don't know if they're going to be going by what the NXT spoilers I've been reading while we've been doing this show. A certain someone who no longer has a title in NXT that Daniel could bring up to face Miz.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You want to feed Miz to Samoa Joe?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
It'd be about as realistic as a certain Brother Nero coming back to WWE and beating up Miz. I don't see it happening.
Yes, exactly. However, by the way, the delete chant is now all over the place. I have heard that everywhere. If you don't like something, put it to you this way. They chanted it at Roman Reigns. They chanted it at the Universal title. Oh, my God.
And they chanted it when the Dudleys mentioned them on Raw, too.
Yes. Delete. And let me just tell you something. I watched Brother Nero and Brother, and Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero. That delete thing is over. I don't know why. I don't get it. But it's over.
Well, not just delete, but everyone's also chanting his obsolete thing to him. I'm like, what the hell is this?
The only way to describe myself is obsolete. Yes, I heard that. That's crazy.
Like, I looked at it and I'm like, how can something? I think that how it's gotten so over is it's so stupid that people have loved it. I think that's the whole thing.
Exactly.
And like what's been said in the chat, amazing what gets over out there is what Ken Kennedy used to say. I'm like, exactly.
It's true. But I will tell you. But yes, and by the way, happy birthday, Vince. I know you're 71, okay? And by the way, on Twitter, he said, and I quote, thank you to all the wishes on my 71st birthday. # luckiest man in the world. # just reached puberty.
So that explains it.
That explains a hell of a lot. Yes, and yes, he admits it. So it's one of those things. Oh, and we have a CWC. Yeah, that's right. The Cruiserweight Classic. The quarterfinals. We have the final eight. Oh, and by the way, some of them were in there. Let's end it with sort of a happier note. Rich Swann is fighting T.J. Perkins. Noam Dar, Zack Sabre Jr. Akira Tozawa is fighting Grand Metalik, and Brian Kendrick is fighting Kota Ibushi. We also saw the trophy at SummerSlam, but I'm asking you, who wins?
It's a hard choice, is right. Sentimentally, I want to go with Kendrick, but I'm thinking they might do Tozawa or someone like that.
Okay.
From Australian standpoint, I'd like to see Damian Slater, but honestly, I'd love to see TJ Perkins win it, because I felt like he got a rough go in TNA, and he's got so much talent that he can bring it over to WWE.
I feel Kota Ibushi is right there right now, but we've got a cruiserweight division that's going to be awesome, which is, by the way, debuting September 19th after the Cruiserweight Classic. That is going to rock Raw. Let me tell you something. The work rate level is going to go off the chart once that happens. Thank you very much.
And Stephanie McMahon is currently in the process of going down to WWE's vault and dusting off a certain title. So,
you think so?
I reckon she will.
You don't think it's gonna be a universally, you know, like smaller cruiserweight title type of thing?
The WWE Universal Cruiserweight Division.
Yes.
I don't know. Possibly.
Yes, it could be a tiny man ring. Wouldn't know.
See somebody Photoshop a picture of it in with a purple strap and everything, and it didn't look too bad.
I was discussing that with somebody though. I think it was one of you guys. They're like, what is SmackDown going to do to counter the cruiserweight division? I'm like, bring back the midgets.
No.
I think that was in the thread, Shane.
Was it?
Yeah.
Carl, stop that. And your voice, Carl, means that we are going, because it's about the 90-minute mark, and we are...
By the way, quick note before we get to that, God forbid you remember the first title Jeff Hardy had at TNA where he was with Immortal.
Oh, God, that.
Same kind of purple for that little Photoshop image I found on the net earlier today.
Yeah, but you want to know something? I actually like that Photoshop. But let me just tell you something. Next week is going to be real interesting because we're going to have the quarterfinals of this. We're on the road to Backlash and to Clash of the Champions, which is September 25th.
Thus continuing in the proud tradition of WWE not liking the word "the" as in Brawl for All.
Yes.
And that sound you hear in the faint distance is VRM head desking because of 7 new pay-per-views right before Mania.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be quite interesting to say the least. What's also interesting is all the programming here. But first, Brian, Mr. Hanniger, you have, I think, something to plug. Can you say what you said now or what you did, or is it still on code of silence right now?
I can mention part of it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I was in Las Vegas over the weekend. I was supposed to be there just for the weekend, but it turned into a 6-day odyssey, which I had a lot of fun with my sister Katie. I was there at Bally's to tape an appearance on a well-known television game show.
Woohoo! There you go!
Will be airing sometime in this upcoming season, and had a lot of fun doing it. Cannot say anything else other than that. Right. But it was me writing something off of my bucket list, and I'm back here after 6 days in Vegas, and boy, is my arms tired.
Yes.
Seriously, I'm going on caffeine and just adrenaline right now. It's going to crash here after the show is over. But followed me on Facebook during my my misadventures out in Sin City, and I want to thank you all for that. You've all supported me in a lot of ways, and I'm very grateful for that. If I could just plug my usual plugs, I haven't had a chance to in the last week and a half.
Yeah, go for it.
Just super quick, want to plug Oddity Archive by Ben Minot, theoddityarchive.com, pop culture ephemera at its finest. Great episode that came out this past week where he did another round of laser disc karaoke and then showed off a huge 45-minute video of his record collection. A lot of great commentaries there. Check that out. Also, Wrestling with Regret with Brian Zane next week. Now, not this week, but next week, he will be debuting his new season, opening up with the Brawl for All.
The poor bastard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Poor son of a gun. But, check that out at Wrestling with Regret, W at the beginning of Regret. Brian Zane, friend of the show, friend of the site, and Pixel Nation will be happening this Sunday if I have come out of my coma by then.
Honestly speaking, if you don't have to, we understand, but we're gonna try and get it done. Carl, if you can open the mic.
Hi.
Yes, this weekend BS Big Show, I will be at Ring of Honor, but I might be in it for late, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, if we do the draft, it's going to be probably after 10 Eastern.
So then I could probably be there for it, so that way we could
Yeah, work. The reason why we're scrambling now is because there's a system in the Gulf I have to keep an eye on.
Yes.
And there's a big high pressure above... It's going to be going towards Chico's area, and we'll have to really watch it. So,
and of course, like, you guys need the rain right now, to say the
least. Yeah. Next question.
Yeah, exactly. But, of course, preseason football action. Tony Romo is hurt again. Did he get blown on? I mean, seriously.
No, Cliff Averill sacked him, and he got hurt.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So we'll cover that. We'll have, if we have the draft, we'll do that. We'll also cover the latest news, including some weird fantasy names that these people have come up with. Good God.
Yeah, we're crazy. Yes. And of course, let's talk about the other stuff. Actually, you know what? I'll come back to that. I'll plug myself last. Chris.
By the way, Jason.
Yes.
The week after, we will have our official season preview edition.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Then we'll be in the full season mode.
Oh, yes. All right, Chris. Yes, Chris, what do you got?
Well, we're still working on trying to get the schedules right to do another paper review again. Nikki's doing whatever she does, and Brian, you've been out and about. So nothing there. I just want to, besides that, though, I want to give best wishes to Michelle McCool, Mrs. Undertaker. She has recently had surgery for skin cancer. Hopefully you get well soon.
Absolutely. Yes. Shane, anything? Do you have anything to plug specifically?
Nope.
Okay. I will plug, of course, always our pony in spirit, Mr. Jim Williams, is still recovering at Cooper Hospital in New Jersey. Get well soon, brother. I know you want to be home real bad, and we want you back here. We miss you like crazy. Absolutely, we miss you like crazy.
Me too. I'm praying hard for you, Jimmy.
Yeah. Touch 'em All will be recording, I think, sometime right after September 1st, and then that way we will be in pennant chase mode. WLTI recorded this past Wednesday. I was a little on the funny side because we were all a little loopy. We talked about America's Got Talent. We talked about Big Brother. We talked about the end of Deal or No Deal in England. Okay. It's a pretty big run after 11 years, and we talked about a bunch of stuff. We did Pass the Password, and next week starts the fall season for Push or Flush. According to Chico, there are 34 shows that will be debuting in the fall.
Oh, Chico... Get ready for my list. Good God.
Yeah, there you go. It is, you know, it's a big, big deal. Of course, you can listen to all the programs that are on here. We talked about Pixel Nation, including Spectrum1.net, Freakin' Awesome Network, Overcast, Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, pretty much all the apps that are there. You can pretty much get us anywhere, anytime, and all that good stuff. And, of course, Carl, what else you got?
Here's a little preview about the next BS. No, not the next BS, but when we get into in-season mode, some segments have been redone and are going to be presented in a brand new way, so stay tuned.
Ooh, I'm definitely interested to hear that. Looking forward to that. We're looking forward to all this stuff. I do not know if our esteemed hostess, Nikki, will be back next week. If she is, great. If she's not, I will be in the host chair to talk us into Labor Day weekend and all the end of summer. But I'm tired. This was a long, long week, but actually a very good, good week for some. Not so good for others. Get well, Mr. Balor.
That is rough.
I mean, honestly, Carl, we didn't get your thoughts on that very quickly.
It's such a damn shame.
I know.
I mean, you've seen the controversial comments about should Seth still be doing the buckle bomb, et cetera, et cetera. Bret Hart weighing in. He's still unsafe. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know, man.
I'll be brutally honest. Anything Bret Hart says this day, I'll just treat it like a Scott Steiner tweet. Don't give a crap. Sorry, but Bret's a little whiny bitch. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, though, I think Seth does have to remove it, but Seth isn't unsafe. You just have to remove the move. There's a difference.
What I would do right now, a quick booking scenario, I would keep Seth probably as top dog for now.
Yeah, that's your so your should and will be Rollins.
Rollins. Okay. I would not put Reigns anywhere near that thing right now. He still needs to learn his lesson.
Well, we'll find. Yes, we will talk about who the new Universal Champion is, what that Miz promo meant, if anything. And more news here on the Freaking Awesome Network and WrestleChat.net, of course, is here on Spectrum One, the North American Wrestling Connection, for the out-and-about Nikki Haman, for the Chief High Muckamuck, Mr. Carl Chenier, Brian Henniger, welcome back, Shane Beeman in Australia, and Chris Waters, I am your substitute host, and thankful to be in the host chair, Mr. Jason Block, saying we will see you next time, next week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.